Lord, we pray that you just captivate our hearts and minds. We want you to reign over us today. Lord, we want you to have your way today. Hallelujah. Thank you for your promises, Lord. You're good all the time. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, that we might bring you pleasure today. I'm one who wanted to please the Lord today.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord surrounds us today. In his presence, there is peace. In his presence, there is joy. In his presence is everything we need. He's all we need. He is the point of life, the sum total. In him we live and move and have our being, and all things are sustained by the word of his power. He is God. He is the creator. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, you are the potter, and we are the clay. And we ask you to mold us, Lord, that your will be done in every heart and life today. Lord, it's not by might nor power, but by your spirit. These things are done, these accomplished, Lord. Thank you for the witness of your spirit here today, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the healings, for the miracles, for the goodness you lavish upon us, Lord. Hallelujah, that you have begun a work in each one, Lord, and are faithful to complete it. Hallelujah. As the song says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Like Paul said, I put no confidence in the flesh, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Hallelujah. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, what? My source of hope is Christ alone. It's not of us, lest we should boast. It's by his grace. We are who we are today. And for that we are grateful, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. God bless you all. Thanks for coming today. Are you glad you listened to the right voice this morning?
Yes.
Always. I wish I could say that. But that's what we shoot for, right? Always listen to the right voice. Okay. Amen. Now God would have us to always, right, listen to his voice. Amen. Amen. That's the goal, is to listen and to learn and to obey. My sheep hear my voice, he said. Hallelujah. I didn't think the world was going to make it to 2000, you know, the way things are. But God has a plan, doesn't he? And he's going to accomplish his mission, his plan in the earth. He's gleaning a people of every tribe and tongue and kindred, amen, around the earth. God likes variety, amen?
Amen.
And he's saving people from every tongue and tribe and nation, bringing us together, amen, under one headship, Jesus Christ, Lord, amen. And how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When we all have the same heart, the same pursuit, is to seek the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to open up for prayer in a bit. Some of you need a touch from the Lord today. Amen. How many could use a touch from the Lord today in your body even? Okay. You need healing today? Okay. So we've been listening to the testimonies, how God is healing, you know, and we've been praying in our prayer meetings for Lord to do a sovereign work, and people are getting healed and nobody's laying hands on them except the Master himself. Amen. And even people listening in online, right, are getting healed, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you grant me utterance to speak today, the very oracles of God. I rely upon you, Holy Spirit, Lord, and no other spirits, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Title of the message today is Breaking Free from Containment. Ever felt like you were contained, being contained, pressed down? I was going to say shaken together, right? You ever feel shut down even? You know, shut down. Sometimes I did a message years ago called Shut Down in the House of the Lord. You know, and God wants us to be walking in his freedom. Free from oppression, free from fear, free from fear of man. Amen. Free from all bondage. Sent out that text, I think it was yesterday, of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, right? He did what? He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison door to those who are bound. God wants to release people from that prison. Sometimes we put ourselves in prison because we allow fear. When I tell you, I was just kind of praying last night and I was quoting that Isaiah 61, and I could just literally feel the fire of God burning on my head. You ever get that? I mean, if I had a mirror, I was going to look for a flame, but it was like the Lord was bearing witness that this is what I want you to speak on. Amen. Now, I'd been putting this message together, but it was this message about the anointing, you know, which is the working, really, the outworking of the Spirit of the Lord in our lives, even that tangible manifestation of His Spirit and of His power that liberates people, that breaks the chains of addiction, right? God wants people, His people, to be completely free from all bondage, all right, to demonic strongholds. When we come to the Lord, amen, we come the mess and all, don't we? We just come the way we are, broken, busted, disgusted, and saying, "God, if you can do something with this mess, here I am," right? And he does. But he wants us to trust him with the most vulnerable part, and that is our heart. To allow him permission, because he stands at the door and what? Knocks. So we want to give the Lord permission to come in and do what he needs to do. Amen. We don't want anything in the closet. Amen. That God knows it's there, but he wants you to give him permission to come in and kick the skeletons out. Amen. And whatever the thing is that may be still tagging along from your old life. And so God is incrementally liberating every captive in his house, amen, because he wants a free people, because we're not able to help others until we are set free, amen. In the areas where you are liberated, you can help others become liberated. You can be a vessel for the Lord in that, amen. We've also often said, even where you've been healed before, if you've received a healing, somebody was testifying about their healing 2 weeks ago, well, last week or something. And Aretha, I think, was listening in online. Was it? Who was it?
I shared.
She was sharing her story.
The two Karens prayed for me.
Yes.
Someone listening online.
So while she was testifying, and Paula, yes, you received your healing while she was testifying. Yes. Isn't that something? Amen. So we talk about, you know, normal Christianity. You know, this is a gospel of power. Amen. And we're supposed to be moving in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And operating in the power of God, because God wants to manifest his glory, his presence in this world. And he's looking for a vessel to work through. And I said, here am I, Lord, use me. How many else will say that? Amen. We just want to be a vessel for God. Amen. Because when the Lord shows up, amen, and he starts kicking butt, if you will, over the devil, amen, people are going to take note. You know, they took note of Peter and John, amen. These were ignorant, unlearned, right, fishermen. But they took note of them because they had been with Jesus. Amen. So if you've been with Jesus, amen, there's going to be the witness of that relationship outwardly. Because who you are inwardly eventually comes outwardly. Amen. Comes out. So there was a saying by a man named Voltaire. He says, it's difficult to free fools from the chains they revere. It's difficult to free fools from the chains they revere. And there's another term, it's called the tyranny of the familiar. Sometimes we get so used to living dysfunctionally that we become comfortable with it. Amen? Or so long dealing with something that we just finally give into it and allow it to just exist. And we can sometimes become discouraged and give up the fight. But the Bible says, submit yourself to God. And then resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. So if we don't submit ourselves to God, amen, then the devil is not going to flee from us. Why? Because you don't have authority unless you're under authority. You got to be under his authority, and then you can exercise authority. So when we're born again, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, okay, is written in our hearts by the Spirit. Amen. And it leads us to a complete spiritual freedom. When God sets us free, Jesus said, whomsoever the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. When he sets you free completely from sin, addiction, demonic oppression, torment. Because wherever the Lord is, the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's liberty or freedom, right? So we have to first have a desire to want to be free. Amen. Not to tolerate the enemy and his devices in our lives. And the enemy wants to convince us that what we are dealing with, we have to put up with. What he tries to do is he tries to rob you of your confidence that God is bigger than he is, so that you'll give in to his voice and just tolerate things that God wants you to be set free from. It's a lot of people. You ask them how they're doing, it's always the same answer. Why? Because they're tolerating it. And for some, it's a means of getting attention. Some people want to be prayed for all the time, and they don't actually want to get better because they like the attention they get for being prayed for. Moving right along here. But we have to desire freedom before we can receive freedom. And it's the Holy Spirit that reveals to us the areas where we might be still stuck. Amen? Where we may be contained. The enemy uses hindering spirits, you know, to try to hinder you in your walk from becoming everything you should be. But God wants you to take authority over your enemy and not allow him to stop you from doing what God calls you to do. So anytime you set your heart to do the will of the Lord, you can expect opposition. Amen? But that opposition cannot stop you if you're in the will of God. When God was sending the children of Israel into the land, there was giants in the land, but they weren't going to stop them from accomplishing the mission God assigned to them. Amen? unless he could convince them in their minds that they were bigger than God and that somehow they couldn't dispossess the enemies. Are you hearing me? And so it's really a faith factor here is, what do you believe? Do you believe the report of the Lord, the word of the Lord? Or are you believing just the lies of the enemy? That says, well, you have to remain bound. I don't believe God wants his people bound in any area of our lives. I believe he wants us completely free from all, A-L-L, demonic oppression. Amen. And sometimes things are not, it's not necessarily that we went out and did something to deserve it. But generationally, sometimes things have happened in our background, amen, where it's allowed something to come in to our lives. You know, I was talking with somebody recently about how they were just having night tremors and being attacked in their sleep. But there was a connection to some practices that were happening in the family, amen, that caused that to happen. It wasn't their fault. Amen. They never got involved in the occult or witchcraft or shamanism, but because of the practices of others, it released something upon the child, and the child was born. Amen. And then the spirit was tormenting them until they came to the realization that they don't have to tolerate it anymore. They don't have to put up with it anymore. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's overcome the enemy of our soul. He has stripped him of his panoply, of his armor. Amen. He's made a public show over him. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. He has the keys. All right. He's overcome the grave. Hallelujah. He's been given the name that is what? Above every name. Every name. Hallelujah. Now, there is a way that seems right, right, to a man. And in the end is the way of death. So naturally, you know, we walk in death because we have not known the life of God. When we're born, amen, we're born with that sin nature, all right? We are born with, if you will, a slave mentality, you know, of having been in bondage. And then, amen, Jesus comes to dwell within us, amen. And then by the power of his spirit, he wants to drive out every enemy, amen, and set you completely free, all right? Now understand that God called Israel to a process of dispossession of their enemies. Amen. It didn't happen overnight, but that was a process. Amen. And they were going to have to fight several battles. Amen. Until they had peace all around. And so it's important that you and I understand that the Lord, amen, has already defeated the enemy of our soul. He has overcome him. He didn't say, I have some authority, but he said, all authority, Matthew 28, what? Has been given unto me. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Amen? So, God wants all people free from Satan's power. Amen? Not just his people, but all people free from the power of Satan. All right? And that's why Jesus went to the cross. Amen? To bring liberty to the captives. The opening of the prison to those who are bound. Hallelujah. God wants you and I to be in a place where we can share his message of hope, his message of freedom with others. And again, as we are being set free, as things are changing in our hearts, amen, as we're entering into certain victories along the way, in those areas of victory, we are able to help others. Amen. If you receive a healing, amen, I believe you can give a healing in the sense that you can release through the testimony the same faith for somebody else to believe for that. Because there is power in the word of the testimony. Do you get that? It's the word of your testimony that releases the same power, amen, that happened back then into the now. Amen. That's why we're not to forget what the Lord has done for us. That's why they weren't to forget how the Lord brought them out of Egypt. Amen. The Passover was to remind them over and over again, amen, of how the Lord had brought them out. But he didn't just bring them out to leave them in the wilderness, but to bring them out to bring them what? In to his promise. So 2 Timothy 2:25 says, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. It didn't say beat them with a large King James Bible. But perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. And that word captive also means hostage, held hostage. And so a hostage is someone who is deprived of power and privilege and freedom. Amen? They have no privileges. They have no freedom. They have no power. They're a hostage. They're captive. Amen? And a hostage that has no power to free themselves. They need someone else to deliver them. Amen? If you're in prison, you need somebody else to bail you out. Amen? And that's why we need the Lord, amen, to bail us out. He did already. But we have to enforce that freedom in our lives. The people of Israel were hostages. They had no rights, no privileges, no freedom. So what did God do? He raised up Moses to deliver the people out of bondage. God made a way for them to be free. He said in Exodus 8:1 to Moses, go back to Pharaoh and announce to him, this is what the Lord says. What? Let my people go. Let my people go so they can worship me. Now remember, Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Amen? And so Moses was instructed to go to the devil, basically, and tell him, let my people go. God says, you are going to release them from captivity. So, what happened? Instead of letting the people go, Pharaoh tightened his grip even more. So it wasn't going to be an instantaneous thing. However, if the Lord said it, he's going to accomplish it. In other words, there was pushback from the enemy. I've heard the saying before, if you throw a rock into a pack of wild dogs, the one that you hit yelps the loudest. Amen? But sometimes, you know, the enemy pushes back. Amen? I think it was Paul said, the more I love, the less I'm loved. Because he was loving people enough to tell them the truth and not everybody was open for it. Amen? They didn't appreciate it. So Pharaoh had kept the Israelites in bondage, as you know, for 439 years. That was a long time. So generations had grown up under that. So in other words, the enemy is a sore loser. He's stubborn. Amen? He's going to resist us. He's going to try to intimidate. He's going to try to push back and cause you to think that somehow you just can't do it. But if God tells you to do it, you can do it. You can do everything he tells you to do. God would never send his word and not confirm it. So if you get a word from the Lord, go with it, amen, and refuse to take the answer no from the enemy. Don't allow him to talk you out of your faith, because that's what he's after. He wants to rob you of your assurance that God will do what he said he would do. So we know Moses was a man, just a man. Amen? And he couldn't really do any miracles without the presence of the Lord. Amen? But because the Lord had called him and anointed him and given him an instruction, and because Moses was faithful to that instruction, he was able then, amen, to call the plagues in. Why? Because he was representing the Lord on assignment. He was under the Lord's authority, and therefore he could exercise that authority. And so God confirmed his word through Moses, because Moses was in agreement with God's instruction. That's why we need to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to know the voice of the Lord. Amen. He's given us a sure word of prophecy right here. Amen. We can know what God is saying and how God is. So eventually, you know the story. 10 plagues later, blood of the lamb over the doorposts, the children of Israel are liberated. They came out. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. He brought them out into a place they'd never been before. They're in the wilderness now. And the problem was is that all they had known is slavery. They were hostages all their lives. So now we're out here in a place we're used to being, even though we're being oppressed, amen, and tormented. At least we're familiar with it, amen. It's predictable. And they kind of got caught up in that place where they were just used to it and accepted it as the way it had to be. But God had different plans, and God says, I want you out of here. I'm going to set you free. And so they had a celebration, didn't they? They were excited. They were out of bondage. But God then had to do what he had to do, a renewing process in their thinking. And they had to get, if you will, Egypt out of them. He had to renew their minds so that now they're thinking as sons and daughters and not as hostages or slaves under the old system. And that's what happens with us in Romans 12 with the renewing of our minds. Amen. So that our minds are coming into agreement with what God has actually done and who God calls us. He calls us as his own. We're now identified as sons and daughters and no longer slaves to sin. When whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. So their full deliverance come. And then the Lord reminded them in Exodus 19:4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And again, it's not what they did for themselves. It was what God did by his grace. Amen. And so there are many who are bound today, even in the church, by fear. They're bound by past hurts, addictions, various demonic strongholds. And I was just talking with somebody today, earlier, about how, you know, they went to some of God's people about a problem they were having. And it was a demonic thing. And I'm not talking about people in this house, but it could be. And but they just said, well, it's just your imagination. Wow. You just had a bad day, you know, and so they're being tormented, right, in their sleep. And it's because, you know, of lack of knowledge that people perish, you know. Instead, we just write it off to, well, it's a cycle thing, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I was just told, well, you're just having a bad dream. But I was seeing this thing appear, you know, coming out of my closet at night. And because they didn't know, they just said, well, you're just having a bad dream. Go get some warm milk and go back to bed or whatever, you know. And so this went on for a long time because I didn't know what to do. But to me, it was real. It's not like people intentionally, you know, mislead us if we don't understand, if we don't know. We're not going to be able to help anybody. Amen? Amen. And so we've got to come to a knowledge of the truth so that not only can we be liberated, but we can help others get free through the knowledge of that truth. So Jesus said, John 8:35, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So he's talking about sonship versus being a slave. Amen. Under the old system, under the law. Amen. The law was holy. It was good. Amen. It was righteous. Amen. But the law could not save. So in mercy, God gave us his Son as an offering to pay our debt. To liberate us. Amen. To bring us into sonship where he places his Spirit within us that cries out, Abba, Father. We're born again. Amen. Not patched up, not improved upon the old, but become a new creation in Christ. And now we're supposed to live from that new identity. But in our minds, we're still thinking, amen, like we were in Egypt, in the world. So God is in a renewal process in our mind. Amen. So that we start to understand who we are in our new identity in Christ, because you can't live who you don't know you are. If you don't know who you are, you can't be that person. So, a son is not a hostage, but an heir, right? To the throne. So God wants his children liberated from all demonic bondage and enforcing his freedom in their lives. God does not want his sons and daughters thinking like slaves anymore. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is awesome. Hallelujah. You know, please hear me when I say this, and don't shut me down halfway through the statement. But this idea that, you know, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, how about looking at it from this perspective? Because if you identify as a sinner, I'm not saying that we don't sin. What it really means is you still have a sin nature, but you've actually been set free from its power in Christ. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart. Amen. You have an internal circumcision of the heart. It liberates you from the power of the sin nature. Okay? And we do still sin occasionally. Amen. And if we do, we have an advocate with the Father. But by identity, we are not sinners. We're saints. We're children of God. It's like the alcoholic who says, I'm an alcoholic, when he hasn't been drunk for years. He's actually a free man, but he's claiming to still live from that old identity. And when you start to identify with something that is a lie, you give the lie power over you to dominate you. Yeah. Well, I'll always be an alcoholic. No. Are you free? If you're free, then claim your freedom. Enforce your freedom. Hallelujah. So I have to believe I'm free before I can walk free. Because it's about faith. Today, the just shall what? Live by faith. Faith in what? God's word, God's promise. What God says. It doesn't matter if it agrees with my theology or my thinking. If God says it, I mean, everything else has to fall to the wayside. I have to refuse any other thoughts except that which aligns with what God says. Because if you fear your sin, you'll serve sin. If you believe you're still a sinner by identity, not that you don't occasionally sin, but that by identity that you're a sinner, you're giving power to that. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because those who say they haven't sinned make God a liar. Amen? We know that. But I'm not a sinner anymore in the sense that I am now a new creation. He didn't say you're just an improvement on the old sin nature. There's a circumcision, there's a separation. So I'm actually a free person in Christ now. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for me. Amen. So I'm living from the perspective of having been justified, having been forgiven, having been set free. And I enforce that freedom in my life. Why? Because I'm no longer a slave to sin, but a son. Amen. A child of God through the new birth. And the power of sin has been broken in my life. The power of Satan is broken in my life. I'm going to enforce that. And I'm not going to tolerate the devil anymore. What are some of the characteristics of people who are bound? Number one, fear, yes. Everything is difficult. Everything is difficult. Constant striving, but very little relief. Exodus 1:13. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. Verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. What did they do? They made their lives bitter with hard bondage. In mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field, all their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. And, you know, when they got word that they're going to be set free, guess what? Pharaoh increased the labor. He made it harder on them. Amen. How many know that? And the devil knows that his time is short. He gets pretty violent. We see it, don't we? He's on his death throes. Hallelujah. What the Lord has set in motion, no devil in hell can stop. And Jesus is going to come, amen, someday, and establish his reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. And every knee will bow. So the devil wants to keep God's people bound and beaten down. It's time to break the spirit of containment off your life. In the name of Jesus. Captive people are those who have lost their passion for Jesus. How many know you will pursue what you are passionate about? Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Amen. We need a passion for even the things of the Lord. If you're passionate for the Lord, you'll find him. You'll seek. Remember the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2:4? It didn't say that they had lost their first love, but that they had left. Amen? In other words, the Lord never changed, never moved. They moved. I remember Annie, I think it was. Hi, Annie, if you're listening in. I'm not feeling good today. But she was talking about how she heard a story of a man and a woman who were so in love. And, they used to sit together in a pickup truck. You know, there's three seats there. And so they're just side by side, as she's sitting in the middle seat right beside them and they're driving. And then years go by and all of a sudden he says, hey, we're no longer sitting together. Now you're sitting on the far end of the seat. We used to ride together. And she said, how come we're not sitting together anymore? She asked the husband, and he says, well, I never moved. You understand? Sometimes that's what happens, right? We've moved, but he has not. Sometimes we're moving when he isn't moving. We're not going with him. Amen? So the Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So we take the initiative to draw near. Hallelujah. We call on him. And another characteristic of bondage is constant sorrow. I want to kind of touch on something this morning. There's a time to mourn. Ecclesiastes 3:4. Amen? But God doesn't want us living in a constant state of grief. Somebody say amen. God wants to heal the brokenhearted, heal the wounded soul. He doesn't want us to remain in continual grief. Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. Amen. For I know their sorrows. How many know the Lord can identify with us in our grief, in our sorrows? Amen. But the Lord wants to heal us. Amen. In those areas. He doesn't want us to wallow in it forever. Amen. There's a season to mourn. Amen. It's like David mourned for Absalom. And the day came when he just washed himself. Amen. He washed his hands and he just said, okay, enough. Time to move on. See, the enemy wants to sometimes keeps us down in a place of grief or regret over the past because he's trying to stop us from moving forward with the Lord. So we can just wallow in what was and in our sorrows and our griefs and in our losses, or we can hit the reset button and say it's time to put a closure on this and to move on. Come on. Come out of that thing in Jesus' name. God told Moses at the burning bush that he recognized their hurt and pain and that he was going to deliver them out of it. So again, the enemy wants to keep us in constant sorrow. And there comes a time when we've got to put those things to rest. Another characteristic of bondage is a crushed spirit. Exodus 6:8, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses, listen, because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. What was Moses trying to do? He's trying to tell the people, listen, I've got something better for you. Amen? But they couldn't see it. They didn't listen because of their anguish. They had a victim mentality. The enemy wants to keep us so focused on our problems that we fail to see what God has done for us. And what he wants to do for us as well. Are we following so far, right? He wants us so focused on our problems that we can't see what God is doing. We can't see what he's done or what he wants to do. In other words, God wants to break you out of that containment. He wants to liberate you from anything that would hinder you in accomplishing his will for your life. Finishing your race with joy. Amen? God wants us untethered from this world. He wants to break the ball and chain off of all of his people. So we are liberated, amen, to go and then express his love to others. Extend that mercy to others, amen. And that God would use us then as a vessel, amen, to bring others into freedom, just like he brought us into freedom. You see, the enemy will keep us in bondage as long, listen, as we allow him to. It's time to say enough is enough. I'm not putting up with this anymore. It's time to put your foot down and kick the devil out of your thought life. Quit tolerating it. Come on, get mad at the devil. Jesus is Lord, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? And God says, submit yourself to me, and then I want you to take authority over your enemies. I want you to dispossess them. Kick them out of your thought life. Kick them out of your family. Kick them out of your community. Kick them out of your nation. Amen? That's what we're praying for. Hallelujah. For a national awakening. Amen? America, come alive. Speak to the dry bones. Come alive in Jesus' name. And there is a momentum, there's a movement of God happening. Hallelujah. And we're praying into this. Lord, bring it. Hallelujah. The enemy is desperate because he's had a grip. Amen. But our God is greater. And our God is able to make all grace abound towards us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. One nation under God. God is able to save America. Amen. And I believe he wants to do so for the sake of the gospel primarily.
Amen.
Amen. That we might be that light on the city on the hill. Amen. That light to the nations. So we got to realize the authority we've been given in Jesus' name. The devil wants you to doubt who you are. He wants you to doubt the word of the Lord. He's after your faith. He doesn't want you to have confidence. So that's why you have to do the opposite of how you feel sometimes. You have to counter that thought, amen, with the truth. Hallelujah. The enemy wants to paralyze us with fear. Keep people held, right? Bound by fear. But God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we take authority, amen, with the word, the sword of the Spirit. When you start to feel fearful, you use that, amen. You say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Fear is illegal, that kind of fear, amen. But he's given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Free people are able to help others to see that they don't have to live as slaves anymore. Are you free today? Today, listen, is the day of salvation. Today is your day for freedom. It doesn't matter what it looks like, how bad it seems. God is bigger than that. The enemy is a liar, and he tries to shrink God in our minds, in our imagination. And he tries to make himself look bigger than he is. That's why he uses the media, amen? To control the narrative, to try to present a lie. And if you get enough of listening to the lie, you start to believe it. Amen? And then you start to act accordingly. So we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind through the knowledge of the truth, the word of God. Amen? And we need to get in alignment with what God says and not what man is saying. Hallelujah. God says, I'm free. I'm no longer bound by sin. Amen. God says, I'm free from the power of sin. I'm free from the power of fear. He has given me a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. I love that. So listen, if you feel like you're a hostage today, it's time to say enough. Enough is enough. That's it. I'm not tolerating this anymore. I'm not just going to accept this as the way it has to be. I'm going to fight the good fight. Amen? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, of human origin, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our God is greater, amen, than any lie of the enemy, any device of the enemy. God wants to liberate the captive. He wants to open the prison doors to those who are bound and release people out of captivity. And if you will humble yourself and pray and yield yourself to the Lord and open your heart, God will bring that liberty. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it takes us a while to realize that the enemy's been pushing us around. You ever get that? Some days you wake, all of a sudden you realize, hey, that's the enemy messing with me here. After you tolerated it for 10 minutes or whatever, you know? Hello. Yeah. So God wants us to walk in our liberty.